Rumi on silence. There is a way between voice and presence where information flows. In disciplined silence, it opens. With wandering talk, it closes. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I will meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other do not make any sense. Inside me, 100 beings are putting their fingers to their lips and saying, "Shh." That's enough for now. Silence is an ocean. Speech is a river. Good morning, Auroville. We are here at the Auroville studio, Auroville radio studio, with Nicole Christine. Nicole Christine is from Munich, Germany. And Nicole has been coming to Auroville ever since 2005. Namaste, Nicole.
Namaste, nice to meet you.
Pleasure is mutual.
Yes.
Now, can you tell us something about your impressions of Auroville, Nicole?
Yeah, like when I came first to Auroville, I was like mainly at the beachside, just meditating on the ocean, like having rented a beautiful hut at Repo with view on the ocean, and I was mainly just meditating. And I haven't had so much contact to Auroville because I had no friend in Auroville. I just heard of Auroville, and I have been spending time in Tiruvannamalai before, and I just wanted to deepen my meditation by having the support of the ocean. And I didn't really meet Auroville on that time, so I missed somehow like somebody who would have introduced me to Auroville. So it felt a little like a close community to somebody who has like no friend inside. And then luckily, like 1 year later, I became friends with somebody who loves Auroville very much and introduced me to several kind of people who are in Auroville since a long, long time and dedicated their whole life to be Aurovillian and to do mother's work. And on that time I became like to know Auroville much, much deeper, and with all that it has to offer, slowly, slowly. And I was like amazed about how much is there, according like to the first year where I was by the ocean, not having really like access to Auroville, not really being able to feel Auroville and what it has to offer. And then suddenly there was like this immensity from this 2,500 Aurovillians, what they have built in this place here, and like the trees and what was grown in this time from when they started. And I was very much impressed to see like how deep the people who have been in contact with the mother, how deeply they are dedicated to the project and how much
involved
they are involved, and how much they love Auroville and how much they love to live for this incredible project, Auroville. And from then on, I really wanted to come more often. And just by being here in Auroville on the land, like I still spend a lot of time always at the place where I was just like staying, doing a lot of meditation. And I just could feel like the support of just this. I feel like the earth of Auroville is blessed. It's like it's just like a very different feel than anywhere else out in the world, we can say. I can very much feel the presence of the divine supporting meditation here for me. And then when there is going into action, going into work, how much the work and everything that comes into being here in Auroville, how much it is kind of supported by this, I would like to call it like divine energy, yeah? This divine kind of it's very difficult for me to find a word, the presence of the mother, we can say. And also I feel very much that the people who are working here and growing this presence inside of themselves, that this is like even like making the field and what can grow here in Auroville stronger, and everything that comes like into being here in Auroville, everything that's created is kind of carrying this energy,
this
which
vibe,
is like,
which is vibrations.
Like, yes, the vibration which is like talked about in the ancient scriptures, or this vibration which like Rumi is talking about when you are reading out this poem. Yeah, so it comes through. It comes through.
It can be felt.
And that's why it feels like always new and always fresh and always like leading towards like more flowering and more flowering and more flowering.
More evolution.
Yes, and it's so like new every moment. Yeah. So it's like wonderful what happens here. Wonderful what happens here.
Awesome. That's really wonderful. Now, what led you to explore long periods of silence? We have been talking about your silent meditation retreat. Can you elaborate on that, you know, on what led you to explore long periods of silence?
Yeah, like, what happened, I was quite successful in my career. I was like earning for my age quite a lot of money. Frequently the banker called and said, there is so much money in your bank account, don't you want to invest it here or here or here? So I was successful. I had like everything I wished to have on the worldly level in terms of just this like simple ideas we have when we are young. We think like we need a big car and a big apartment, and we need like a job and a status, something that can be like said of you have reached in your life. And I had like a beautiful relationship, and still I wasn't happy, and I couldn't understand. I was like meditating upon it, like contemplating, what is it, why I'm not happy, yeah, why I'm even becoming such deep and bad depressions. Yeah, I was becoming more and more depressed, so depressed that I even thought it's my relationship isn't 100% perfect, so I broke up with this wonderful man. And I was just like praying for something to come to help, and it took 2 years till something came. And what happened, I was sitting at a friend's place having tea, and his TV was on mute, so silence, and I just turned my head and I saw an image of a mountain, and from deep in the belly and the heart I just knew like I have to go there. I didn't know a name, I didn't know where it is, I just felt I have to go there, and it was so deeply touching, I had almost like tears in my eyes. And this friend I was with told me that it is Mount Kailash. So when I saw the mountain, it was winter time, so I had to wait till spring, and went to Mount Kailash, and totally like innocent, not knowing much about spirituality, almost nothing. I didn't even know the Om sign. Yeah. So I was going there just because my heart was pulling me, and when I saw the mountain, I started having tears in my eyes, and it didn't make sense for my mind why. And I could say like this mountain was like my first spiritual teacher in this life. Yeah, I know they also call him Kang Rinpoche. So I was standing in front of this mountain, and I heard like an inner voice asking me to go on my knees. And we were like already halfway around the mountain on the north face. It was like 5,200 meters altitude, I think, something like that. There was no rain. And my mind said like, why to go on my knees in front of this mountain? It makes no sense. Like my mind said, every stone is holy as another stone. This is just a mountain. what is this voice? I will not listen. So this inner fight was going on for 20 minutes, like this voice saying, go on your knees, simply just saying, go on your knees. And another voice saying, no, no, this is like bullshit. Why to do something like that? And at one point, it just happened. Like, it just happened. I started to do prostrations. And something much deeper happened on the same time. And I would say, I can call it, I forgot about myself. I forgot totally about myself, about Nicole. And there was like a big, big opening happening. And in this state of consciousness, this new way of being, which I also feel all the poems of Rumi are pointing to, and the Vedic scriptures are pointing to. So this different way of being in the heart, which feels like extreme, like it's very difficult to find words. I feel there are not really words. It's like an openness, a complete openness, an openness which is like, to say openness, if we say openness, we have in the opposite closeness, but this openness has no opposite. It's just openness. And in that moment, there was an extreme big amount of healing happening, because there was this compassion coming in, the ability to see that everything, really everything, is absolutely perfect the way it is, and every little thing, every being, everything is perfectly at the right place where it has to be. And with that, there comes like an extreme, like an absolute exception. So the inner fight stops.
With that acceptance.
Yes, like with that acceptance of seeing everything is perfect, there is automatically the acceptance of how things are. Yeah. And with this, like, automatically we allow everything to be the way it is, and automatically we love everything the way it is. Yeah. And we just like surrender to, we surrender to what is, and allow ourselves to be in flow with that. And it's just wonderful. It's just the most wonderful thing. I think like every soul, unconsciously or consciously, is yearning for that, wants that. It's like being at home, sometimes they call it in the scriptures, yeah? Being at home, but to me it is even more than being at home. It's like, yeah, it's like being at home inside myself, something like that. But with seeing the myself as something much bigger than Nicole, something like, there are only these spiritual words coming to me, yeah, which are pointing to this, like, we could call it the one soul, the only one existing soul, something like this.
Lovely. Now, let's move on to the silent meditation retreats you have been leading and organizing. Mm. Can you tell us a little more about
the silent retreats? Yes, so the silent retreats, they are offered usually for a period of something like 1 week, 10 days, up till 1 or 2 months, something like this. And what I feel that is like the importance, or what a silent retreat has to offer, what basically means like we are committing to not speaking as much as we usually do, yeah, like as little, just some practical stuff, very little if it's really needed, or some talks to the teachers or questions on the Dharma. So anything else that's kind of destructive, and a big part that's destructing us is like speaking, is put it aside. So we are for 10 days in an environment that's protected, everything is taken care of, we can put all that's usually distracting or bordering or keeping us occupied aside. And we have the opportunity to look what is there then. Looking what is there when I'm not occupied with all these things. And there happens like an automatic drawing towards source, towards what
source of being.
The source of being. It's kind of because it has gratitude, gravitation also, yeah? The source has also this energetic gravitation?
Yeah, gravitational pull, you could call it.
And it kind of, it pulls attraction. Just by putting all this aside, it automatically pulls, yeah? And this kind of has the ability to create like a current which is automatically like drawing us more and more into the heart, we can say, yeah? First towards our own human heart, to our humanness, to our own softness, to our love, towards what we love. We get clear on what we really want in this life, what is really important for us, what needs to be clarified, where is kind of like itchiness here and there, what needs to be looked at. It all comes like very, very natural to us. Yeah, we don't need to be taught by anybody. We are able to touch like our own source of wisdom, you can say, yeah, which is like this inner current which is like which knows what is the next step to do in our life, yeah. And so the meditation, the silent retreats, they have the power to create this momentum where we are touching upon this inner current which is pulling us towards that inside. So it is not about, you know, like being silent for years and years and years and being happy sitting alone somewhere in the mountains. That can be part of it for some people, yeah. But what it really is about is to come in contact with our being so that we are able to live from heart again instead of from mind, yeah, instead of from conditioning, instead of from what we were taught is wrong or right. So that we really know again ourselves, like what is wrong or right and what needs to be done. And because this inner wisdom inside of us is also the wisdom of this place we talked about before, yeah, of this field of knowledge, this like
source of being.
Yes, the source, or this one soul, this incredible intelligence that created everything. And it knows, yeah? So it's just about listening to that.
Tuning in.
Yes, tuning in, listening to that.
Resonating with it.
Yes, surrendering, opening to that.
Opening is so important.
And then we want to surrender. It's not something that we need to do or something that takes over and we are getting small. No, we grow in that.
Yeah,
we become like who we really are, and we can like suddenly live our potential fully. Yeah, instead of the conditioning that was put on us.
Sure, yes.
And that is fantastic.
So what kind of places have you had these silent retreats? I mean, where all in India, for instance, have you done retreats?
So far, we have been... I'm leading silent meditation retreats since 3 years now. And they have been in Satal, in an ashram, which is a beautiful forest with lakes one can swim in. And the other... retreats have been in Tiruvannamalai, in a beautiful ashram called Anantniketan, and they happen every year there.
I see.
And there is meditation included, and it's like a very open space. So what we wish is to support people in their own practice and for everybody to find his own way, rather than again being told how to do. So that everybody can kind of tune in and see what do I need to come in touch with my truth. Yeah. With what is truth for me, what is truth for me, with what I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so the schedule is structured so that one can do more or less meditation or walks in nature or rest a lot. Then there is talks, there is bhajan singing, there is yoga in the morning. And
what about karma yoga?
There is also a period of karma yoga, yeah, like 1 hour karma, 1 hour karma yoga in the schedule every day, 45 minutes to 1 hour karma yoga.
I see. And it's a 10-day retreat?
They are structured. Some are 7 days. Some are 1 month. And I would also love to offer 1 2-month retreats, because once we have like started the momentum, then usually what happens, like after 10 days we go back into our life, and then slowly it like gets this source we have discovered of our what is like our origin, what are we, what is my truth, what am I, what is true for me, how can I be connected to that. It slowly kind of starts to cover again. And it happens in a way so that we almost don't notice. We just find us suddenly again, almost where we were before. So a longer period is kind of connecting us deeper, much deeper. And then if we can, it's much more easy to carry that out, to carry that out and to carry it faster out than if we do every day, just every year, just 10 days, or every year, 2 times 10 days. So a longer period is like bringing a much more benefit. So I like to do
longer
ones, to offer longer ones, but also the short ones are, of course, like can be life-changing. 10 days of silence can be so much life-changing. It's unbelievable.
Yes, I have been through some silent retreats too, so I can relate to what you're saying. Now, what is meditation according to you, Nicole?
So, after this experience at Mount Kailash, also to me it happened that conditioning came back. Yeah, so Nicole was not gone forever. This like what is called sometimes like ego, yeah, this structure which comes from conditioning, from issues, from patterns that have created themselves or over this period of life, or come even from like later. He started to come back, yeah, to cover.
Resurface, yeah.
To resurface, right. And my mind was even doubting that it happened. And since I haven't been living a spiritual life up till then, it was like 2004 that I have been at Mount Kailash, I had no kind of, nobody who was kind of telling me, no, this is something really worth looking for, opening towards, bringing into life, yeah. I was doubting, and at one point I got a book of Ramana Maharshi in my hands, and I opened it, and I just knew this man is talking about that. So this was bringing me to Tiruvannamalai and to being silent, and another friend told me about a silent meditation retreat which was going over 10 days in Bodh Gaya. And this retreat just connected me so deeply back that I saw the potential of meditation. And from there on I just felt very much drawn to meditate more, to really like give a lot of time, and I structured my life so that this is possible. So I gave up my fancy apartment, I sold my fancy car, I took the money and started to go in these retreats where I had support in the beginning, and then I felt I really want to be even without the bells which are ringing in the retreat. I just want to go really, really deep. And at that point, I remembered that I was naturally meditating in a period from 4 years till 14 years old, till the first, like, very strong kind of, with 14, I had some very traumatic experiences which kind of cut me off from the ability of meditation. So Mount Kailash reconnected me to be able to meditate, to be able to have a more and more silent mind, to be able to connect to the silence, which is even beyond mind. Yeah, I'm not saying you need to have a totally awesome still mind, but there is a silence beyond mind.
Yeah. Even the awareness of restlessness is meditation, says a Zen monk. So it's interesting. Achtsamkeit, as they say
yes,
in German.
It is something that is deeper.
Mindfulness.
Deeper than that, yes, right. So mindfulness is also like a tool to connect to this place Rumi is talking about, yeah? Mindfulness is a beautiful practice.
Achtsamkeit, how does that...
Achtsamkeit.
Yeah, would you elaborate on that German word? I've heard it means mindfulness.
Yeah.
What does it connote to you? What kind of, you know, connotation or what kind of feeling does the word give to you when we say Achtsamkeit in Germany?
It has something very, very German. Soft. Yeah.
I see.
Achtsamkeit, it's something... Very, very, also mindfulness has something very, very soft, I feel, also in English, yeah? And this is also a part which I would like to point out is important for any kind of practice we do, yeah? If it's karma yoga or if it's meditation, like, or if it's interaction with people, this softness is very, very important. This softness is, for me, like, it's like a touch of love, yeah?
Gentleness.
So this is like very, very important to have in the practice. Otherwise, our spiritual life is becoming very, very dry and not leading anywhere. So to do things with Achtsamkeit, with mindfulness, yeah, brings love into our actions. And then every action has the ability to reconnect us to ourselves and to what is deeper than ourselves and what we are when we are connected, because then we are not only ourselves, we are also source, yeah? We are also flowing source.
So every action becomes meditation then?
Every action becomes meditation and that's what karma yoga is,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Now moving on to your spiritual life or walking the spiritual path. So what does being spiritual mean to you, Nicole?
Well, I would like to speak in two ways about it. Like, first, I feel like in the beginning of becoming aware that I would like to... It's a little bit tricky. For me, I really felt something is missing in my life. I have everything and I have nothing. I have all this beautiful apartment, car, clothes, everything, but I have nothing. Why I have nothing? Why I feel something is missing? Why I feel most important part is missing? Yeah. And nobody could tell me. Yeah, nobody could tell me. Before I met Mount Kailash, nobody could tell me. Nobody in Munich, I felt, knows. Maybe there are, but I didn't meet. And... So I feel like after this opening, what was important was really like to see, to be aware and to believe that there is like, through this knowing, it's like a kind of like a trust into that it's possible to live from a totally different place than I was living before, yeah? So that it's like possible to live from heart rather than from mind. And for that, it requires just like a truthfulness to ourselves, like to really like look and inquire and to be open to change our life and life circumstances so that this beauty and this love, this Achtsamkeit, this mindfulness, yeah, this softness can come into our life so that we kind of get also clear on what is important for us. And this can be different things for different people, but what is important for us? And then making like also the effort to change our life so that this can get space in our life. So this is for me like spiritual life, yeah? So an openness towards that, an inquiry on what is like truthful, what is important, what is necessary to change in my life. And to like kind of like make an effort, Yeah, make an effort to get out, get like away from sitting in front of the couch and watching TV and
having to empty
one
the
coke
self.
After the other. That's just an example. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Like
I see
move,
what you're saying.
To move your ass, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And also to keep it still, because you know, in order to be silent, sometimes you also have to be still. You know, like.
Yeah, like that's like already when that happens, when the stillness comes in, when there is a contact with the stillness, then we are already on the way. Yeah.
And regardless of whether you're moving or not, that inner stillness is not affected. So it's not so much a physical stillness that we're talking about, but.
Not at all. No, not at all. The physical stillness is just like a helper. Yeah, that can help us to connect to
within,
the inner stillness.
But
what you are talking now, right now, is like already on the spiritual path. Yeah, if we have found this inner silence, if we can stay with it, if we are reconnected to it, then this is all what is required. Yeah, there is not more required than being connected to that stillness, and everything will unfold. Yeah, what I was talking right now is like before. Yeah, when. I was, for example, in Munich, in my fancy apartment, unhappy.
Yeah. I see what
there was saying. No stillness. My mind was running like crazy, and there
yes.
was no ability to look beyond. No ability, because it was just so noisy.
Mm-hmm.
It was so noisy because of all the pain that got accumulated from, we can say, from young age up
yes.
to 2004. Yeah.
The cup was overflowing. Maybe you had to empty it. Yeah.
Yes. Totally, totally. I had to start to empty it. And for me, the reconnection through Mount Kailash to this stillness you're talking about was helpful. And then the encouragement by the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, what he was talking about. And then making the effort to change my life, to let go of my job, to let go of my apartment, to let go of my life in Munich, to make the effort to what felt like right for me. I don't say you have to give up your old life. Yeah, it's for everybody different. It's about like getting in contact with that. And then from inside, the answers can arise. Like what is important to do? What is important for me to do? Not to follow anybody else. What is important for me? What do I need to do so that I can live my truth? What is important for me? What I want to manifest? What do I want to live for?
Letting the inner light or the inner guide guide you or lead you.
Yes, yes, of course.
And
so many people don't even know what this inner light is. Mm. Yeah. So
connecting with the inner light,
yes.
connecting with the inner guide.
And this is what meditation is like.
Connecting.
A very, very powerful tool.
Tool or
also
a device.
Also karma yoga, of course, yeah. But a combination of both, I feel, is very important, yeah. Because we can get lost in karma yoga as much as we can get lost in hanging out in high states of consciousness with a still mind, yeah. So it's important to also like
ground yourself.
Ground us and become like aware of
Indeed.
That source and stillness.
Indeed.
Yeah, like in a real sense. And it's also very, very helpful to have somebody pointing that
mm-hmm.
and supporting that and helping us when we are lost, because this inner path is very difficult to go. Yeah, because there is no. Stones and signs, like when you go up a mountain you can put signs, like real signs, but inside it's just our own like feeling and wisdom, and it's very good if somebody is close, somebody we trust, who can kind of give us like just
hold
a little
a hand sometimes,
yeah, hold a hand or just like push a little,
push
if we are getting
us.
Off the path, yeah. So that we can go on and not get stuck
the
somewhere halfway up the mountain.
Sure, yes.
So this is one part, and the other part of your question was about what is spiritual life, yeah? And I feel spiritual life is like, in a deep sense, it's just about living every moment with this love inside. And expressing this love.
Remembering. Remembering also?
Well, basically, like when spiritual life is lived, then there is no remembrance needed anymore.
because you are in it already.
Yeah, it's so present. Like it's like every movement of your being. Yeah, every movement of your being is expressing. Is expressing divinity, is expressing source, is expressing beauty, is expressing love, is expressing support, is expressing compassion, is expressing openness, is expressing what is, yeah, what is. And we overlook what is, and it's so fantastic what is. Yeah.
Indeed, what is, yeah.
And like this isness which is in everything, yeah. And it is so much in every little piece of matter. We just overlook it all the time because we look only on the surface. Yeah.
Yeah. And we are too caught up in our own small psychophysical self-contraction,
yes,
called ego.
Yes, totally, totally. Yeah,
the,
yeah,
identification, the self-contraction.
So spiritual life is about like leaving that behind and living from heart and from soul and from love.
Integrating. Perhaps,
yeah.
Integrating the mind and the heart. Would you also agree when I say it's spiritual life is also about, not about denying anything, but to unify. You know, if we can unify the mind and the heart, if we can unify thought, word and action.
The mind becomes just a tool then, yeah, a wonderful tool. So we don't need to fight the mind, yeah. We don't need to turn off the mind. We don't need to totally still the mind. Yeah?
Indeed.
The mind is just a tool like my hand. Mm-hmm. With my hand I can take a hammer and I can build a house, and with my mind I can use my mind like a extraordinary great tool to create.
Sure, yes. You can, if you can master or if you can become skillful at using the mind like a tool, mm-hmm, if we can work towards more and more skill and, mm-hmm, more and more awareness, yes.
So this I want to just say, maybe at the end of the interview, that it is about expressing and sharing love, yeah, in every action, in every meeting, every moment, and it's nourishing. It's any moment healing. If there is anything out of alignment, it falls back very fast into our heart and. It's fulfillment, total fulfillment.
So thank you, Nicole, for being here in Auroville Radio Studio. And it's been wonderful talking to you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And yeah, all the best for you.
Thank you.
For this interview. And I enjoyed very much.
So did I. Thanks. Rumi on quietness. Inside this new love, die. Your way begins on the other side. Become the sky, take an axe to the prison wall, escape. Walk out like someone suddenly born into color. Do it now. You're covered with thick clouds. Slide out the side, die and be quiet. Quietness is the surest sign that you have died. Your old life was a frantic running from silence. The speechless full moon comes out now.